half hour on it, and I don't need to go back to it. The foolishness of becoming enamored with earthly power such as Babylon comes in great contrast, and the consequences of submitting to anyone but the Lord is in great contrast as we turn into the 40th chapter. It's a message of comfort. And it's a prelude to some of the most amazing promises and the promises we've been looking at. Now, I teach on these promises to show God's control and the value of getting your hand in His, which is faith, because He is in control. And to rightly divide the Word of God on the subject I'm teaching is to have one of the most faith-building experiences. To see that God can do this is to make it much easier to believe that He can sort out our individual problems. Now, He leads up to the promises by saying, Behold, verse 10, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. And behold, His reward is with Him. Turn that blower off. And His work before Him. Turn that blower off was not there. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them with His bosom, shall gently lead those that are with young. Then He starts asking some questions, rhetorical. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? Now, it's Sunday night. You've been dumped on, folks, probably all day if you listen to any television evangelist. And you got to go into life's storm for the rest of the week. Is this faith business a safe way to walk? Well, let's start with who it is we have faith in. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure? And weighed the mountains in scales and hills in a balance. Now, I'm in the business of making God's Word come alive where we are. I don't have to go any further if I really stop and think about it. I had enough time since I preached this morning and starting tonight to figure out at least a half a dozen things this week that God just simply can't handle. I had to figure it out. And when I got done preaching this morning, I was rather happy that faith and fear and doubt can exist in the same vessel. And I left a good message with my people that if you keep hanging on, faith will out. But by 9 o'clock West Coast time, I had anticipated the week to come. And it dawned on me, there's about a half dozen things this week that are too big for God to handle. In my case. And I got interrupted with this festival because I was beginning to talk to this mute up there that never seems to respond to my very clear expositions to him of what lies ahead Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I'm sure he doesn't see them. I don't really think he's blind, but he just ain't noticing. And that mute all afternoon, as I spent about the final 30 minutes before I got in the car to come here. You know, to those who were looking at me, I was catnapping all the time. But I was thinking of some of the problems this week facing me that God hasn't thought about. And He couldn't handle. I'm doing my dangest to figure out how I could handle him, knowing he couldn't. So he could save a little face. And we have those one-sided conversations all the time. I say, God, are you aware of this? And he says, nothing. Even a nay would help. Then I know it's just me and the problem. The uncertainty of it that gets to me. He don't say anything. I say, hey, this isn't too big for you. And here I sit down and read one verse and feel like a fool. He ain't as mute as I thought. He already said it. Hey, dummy. You got some big problems this week? Yeah. By the time you noticed. Who hath measured the waters? That's the seas. In the hollow of his hand. Just sort of juggled the Pacific and the Atlantic. And meted out heaven with the span. It's about, some of your margins will say, about a 9-inch measure. Comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. You know, I don't really think most people, when they read the Bible, hear what it says. Do you know how long it would take to weigh the dust of the earth? You ever thought of what job would be to weigh dirt? I mean, that's a lot of work. And then he did all the dust measured, counted, then weighed the mountains and the hills. Wow, I can't wait till the enemy lifts his head tomorrow. Man, is he going to get landed on? Where are you people? Anybody here tonight?
Yes, sir.
Don't give me that dumb, stupid look. A bunch of you been sitting here tonight thinking about what you have to do this week. Ain't no way God could handle it. I ain't the only dumb jackass in this building. Don't make me sit here in front of the whole nation look stupid. You all look stupid too. Whole bunch of us are stupid most of the time. It takes a little of God's word to unstupid us. God's word makes unstoops. Isn't it stupid when we run around saying, we're going to have faith in God, believe God's word. He can't handle anything, though. Can't handle a tax problem. Can't handle a stolen motorcycle. Can't handle a food poisoning. Maybe a little tougher for him. Can't handle a cancer. There's only one salvation. God's people got to get back into God's word and listen to what he says. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains and scales and the hills in the balance? And that same God, I have the promise, if we acknowledge him in all our ways, he'll direct our paths. There ain't no way he could have directed some of the things that some of you are in. Baloney. The promise is secure. This is not the subject tonight. I just couldn't avoid camping out on it for a few minutes. Do you realize what kind of God we serve? Now, I have a few. I talk in code to my people who heard what I said this morning, and I can turn the fan on just a little bit, but try to keep it, you know, plug it in about Vancouver, B.C., instead of Fairbanks, Alaska. Comes on like a tornado. It's just so hard to believe that God knows and is able till you get into God's Word. And then you realize, there it is. How are you going to find out He can handle these things until you say, damn the circumstance, God's in control, and I'm in His hand, the same hand that measured out in its hollow the waters of the earth. We're in good hands. That's the point. We're in good hands. You know, we just keep making it. I like it. Who had directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, had taught Him? Well, I've been trying for years. That's what I've been telling you. The Lord hasn't listened to my preaching. Just think of the message you could have avoided if the Lord had listened to you. Here's His answer. Jackass. Who, verse 13, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him? With whom took He counsel? Now, you that know, we talk in code. We have a couple of pimples to pop. If you've been in church this morning, you'd know what I'm talking about. Got a couple of pimples to pop. Boy, are they going to become a gory mess. Who had directed the Spirit of the Lord, of being His counselor, had taught Him? It just dawns on me, I've tried. And with whom took He counsel? Who instructed Him and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him knowledge, and showed Him the way of understanding? Rhetorical questions. When you really stop and think about it, aren't we dumb? Forever telling God what to do. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. And what's a couple of little pimples? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. You know, you read the Bible through in 82, you just get a bunch of poetry. But if you stop and realize what God's saying, He's saying, will you put it in perspective? Can you back off a little bit and just let yourself see what's getting you down today from God's perspective? Lousy me. I might lose my job tomorrow. If you acknowledge Him in all your ways, He'll guide your path. Some of you have prayed for years for God to do something great for you. So He causes you to lose your job so He can get you doing something that might fulfill the promise. You won't let Him do it. Now, you remember the night the guy called and said he'd end the world for him. His wife had just divorced him, and he'd gone into bankruptcy. I said, man, are you lucky. Very few people get to start over in life that clean. You know, let's back off this Sunday night. I taught you this morning, after the victory we've had, I expect the devil to come from every side. Have you ever done that little game? This is a little old lifesaver. Not very big. Hold it out there in that camera, hardly see the lifesaver. Amazing. Amazing how little I can see if that little old square is close enough to me. Can't see a blame thing. That's the way most of us are with our problems. We can't see a thing, you know. It's just right there. That's what this verse is about. It's trying to put it in perspective on this Sunday night. Oh, my God. I got a pain in my belly. I'm going to lose my esophagus and my sarcophagus and my mausoleum. Oh, God, cancer. Well, God's faced cancer before. I know. I don't want to be trite. The fear that paralyzes comes from holding it too close. I mean, what are we in this faith walk for that must take us into eternity where death is the beginning? If we can't let God's word speak, behold, the nations are as a drop of bucket and are counted as a small dust of the balance. God is saying, I'm in control, and if you think you got a big problem, I can juggle Russia. The arms talks have stalemated. My grandkids will burn in nuclear holocaust. Just another hot air machine. I'm terrorized by Gromyko. He'll die and go to hell. Some of you are letting a bankruptcy judge terrify you. Others letting an IRS agent terrify you. When you see him next time, go. And he says, what does that mean? You say, I love you so much, I want you to have it quick. I mean, get a little spunk this Sunday night. Well, I've been cowering here because Jerry Falwell or Jimmy Swaggart made me think I was going to hell. This guy here determines who goes to hell. The one that holds it all in his hand. Well, you realize how big my problem is? Well, let me see. Where you live? Glendale. Well, what's that in relationship to California? Ain't much. In relationship to the United States? Not very much at all. Well, the United States is just a nation counted as a drop of a bucket. Small dust in the balance. Glendale's that much of the dust in the balance. You couldn't even find it in that perspective with a heavenly microscope. Somebody up there gave me the signal. The Lord says he doesn't let us be tempted beyond what we're able. And a little piece of dust is giving you trouble. When God figures out it's enough, he'll go, perspective is what this verse is about. Get it together.
Lebanon's going to bring the world war on us. Quit blowing them up and kidnapping them every day. Well, if you go to Lebanon, you're stupid if you don't know the risk. You know, I got a little bit of street sense. I mean, if I wanted to be kidnapped, I'd go to Lebanon. You don't even have to work very hard. That ain't a very complicated problem. You want to be kidnapped, be white, and go to Lebanon. Simple, isn't it? Lebanon. That little thorn over there is going to bring the world war down on us. Verse 16. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn. I mean, you know, God just really puts it all in perspective. I'm feeling better about my boss all the time. I really believe we can go the next 7 days. I mean, you know, I don't even think we have to even slow down and pop those pimples. Just flow on. Some people are taking a little trip Wednesday, sort of, as you walk around, go, everybody will know what you're saying. Once in a while, you can look at each other and go. Secret hand signals. Look over there and go. It's really fun being a Christian when you get it in perspective. I mean, you really walk high, walk tall. I mean, you know, all of these evangelists striding around, sweating, panting, yelling. I yell, you know, when I yell, it makes sense. They go into a constant, turn to chapter 44 of the second book of Chronicles and the third verse and open your Bibles quickly and get ready to receive my message. They say that, say all the way. When you get done, you think, my Lord, so they put you in an absolute nervous fit while they preach. I mean, why can't there be a... They take themselves so serious, these preachers. They're on a constant turn everybody into a nervous breakdown crusade. You know, put in perspective, it's fun. You see me on the freeway, honk and then go, I know what you're saying. I mean, you know, isn't it kind of worn out seeing all these Christians for centuries going like this? Let's get something new going. I offer this as the substitute for the sign of the cross. Don't you wish you'd have been in church this morning and heard my secret? All nations before him are as nothing. They're counted to him less than nothing. I don't say that again. I like that. All nations before him are as nothing. And they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. But I got to go to the hospital tomorrow. This God goes with you. And in you. If you go trusting him. Oh, for the ability to keep our head up there where God's speaking. Really? Perspective is the issue. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? You know, it's a tragedy that the evangelical church world, well, first, the Puritans and the
British and American Bible Society took the apocryphal scriptures out of the King James. So you dear souls that think the King James is good enough for Paul, good enough for you, put the Apocrypha back in, because that was in the original. But in the last few years, they've eliminated the Old Testament. Always carried around, because it looks spiritual, carry a big Bible. They never go to the Old Testament. They love those judgmental New Testament passages. What a crime. You don't hear about God through the mouth of someone like Isaiah saying this. To whom then? You that are showing ads, I'll be back. I'll still be on this when I return. To those stations that aren't showing ads, I'm going to keep going. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare him to? Jerry? Jimmy? Peter?
No.
Ernie?
No.
Herbert?
No.
Billy?
No.
The workman meldeth the graven image. The goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginnings? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? I could go a little further on the 20th verse. He that is so impoverished takes the paint off of the woman's face, puts a holy stern look on the man's face, creates a mental image of touch not, eat not, breathe not, and projects his own ugliness as the likeness of God. Haven't you heard? Haven't you heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth that is God, and the inhabitants thereof are grasshoppers. Do you realize that some of you are under attack from grasshoppers? You realize some of you are worrying about grasshoppers? I'll be right back. It's time to encourage men and women of faith tonight. Something isn't done very often on Sunday. And I'm doing it with the Bible. I'm in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. An amazing perspective chapter. You facing problems? A right view of God, into whom we have committed our life, if we're men and women of faith, puts it in perspective. And I was at that passage series that starts the 18th verse, chapter 40. To whom then will you liken God? Now, the pattern in those days was to make little graven images. Today we've gotten more sophisticated. We make visual and verbal images. But it's the same thing. We have had God described to us all day today. He doesn't have long hair. He's a man. I'd let you out, John. The dad likes it. All these traditional images of godliness that we must all strive for and bow down to. Same thing. It substitutes delimitations of God from His grandeur. The bringing of God down to a little temple size that looks like us. So we can worship this projection of our own creative imagination about Him. Don't you know to whom then will you liken God? It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are grasshoppers. Now, I'm talking about perspective. You know, I just soon crush grasshoppers as pimples. I've offered tonight to those that have been listening, you know, a little variety on the scene of the Christian sign language. Instead of the sign of the cross, for a few weeks, at least 7 days, I've asked all those that meet me to look around and say, I'll get your message. You say, I don't know what that means. Too bad. Most people didn't know what the sign of the fish meant in the New Testament either. Everybody knows what this means. There's nothing special about that. Everybody knows what that means. Let's get on the offensive. When that traffic cop pulls you over, go. And when he says, you have your license? Yes, sir. I'll get it right now. Go get it. Show it to me. Be very law-abiding. And when he sees it and sees that you're all right, you're just... He says, what are you doing? I have this problem with my thumbs. You go to some government office, you stand in line for 4 hours, and you're the next one in line. There's just one more in front of you. And they reach up, put out to lunch. Go. Now, I'm being ludicrous because I'm on the air. I think that my intelligent congregation can apply it where it belongs. Put things in perspective. Some of you are terrorized at what some grasshoppers are doing to you. Whom the Lord calleth, He enableth. As I look back on it, I've left an awful lot of juice in my path. It's amazing. When I get it perspective, elephants suddenly became grasshoppers, and those who followed me would slip and slide while I just marched right on. I'm trying to give you perspective tonight. Your problems are there. They're very big. God's so much bigger. And we're in His hand. It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Aren't you glad that God doesn't look like Jerry Falwell or Jimmy Swaggart or Jimmy Baker or their wives? Now, I really admire women and the women's liver work, but you really want God to look like some television evangelist's wife? Aren't you glad God doesn't? He sitteth upon the circle of the earth.
instead of a circle of chairs uttering nonentities. The inhabitants thereof are grasshoppers. You know, it ought to be comfortable to a few people to know that Scott's a grasshopper. I'm willing to accept that. If I can have the comfort of knowing that some of the thundering, judgmental voices that preach today are also grasshoppers and little ones. God, is he that stretcheth out the... You know what I'm saying. This is old, old, old truth. It's been around since Isaiah preached. It's so easy to forget. God, is he that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. He's spread all this out. That bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Do you realize how much catharsis will come this week from a little... You say, I don't know what you're talking about. You should have been in King's House 1 this morning. Yay! They. Who? Judges of the earth. They shall not be planted. They shall not be sown. Their stock shall not take root in the earth. He shall also blow upon them. And they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. Your Honor, would you like me to read your fortune? I do readings for judges. I'm feeling so good. They look like black widows. Really, they do. They look like black widows. Sitting there covering their stupidity and grasshopperness and pimple conditions. Their head's always higher than anybody else's, they think. Ever notice that? Please rise. Go ahead. Play their game. Set them up. Here, boss again. Cause God will deal with it. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. That's nothingness. Not planted, not sown, their stock not take root in the earth, he shall blow upon them. They shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. Your Honor, I do readings. Would you like your fortune told? To whom will you liken me, God says? That takes care of it. You know, in today's society, judges are like the Chinese mandarins at the autocratic period of Chinese history. They think they're God Almighty. You've got to have brains to be God Almighty. To whom will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Nations and princes and judges, they've been put in their place. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. When I taught on the message of God in the heavens, somewhere, some common source
for the names of the stars before they begin to degenerate is the assumption of the man of faith. The Bible says who gave them their first names. That's why when he talked to Job, he could mention Orion. God spoke his message in the heavens before he ever wrote this book. I'll get you back to that subject too. He is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord? Oh, praise be to Jesus. When we get up there in glory, I'm going to look up Israel and Jacob and say, you said it too? You said it too? Why sayest thou, my way is hid from the Lord? He's not paying any attention to me. My judgment's passed over from my God. He just leaves me on the docket. He's not giving me a decision. Why do you say that, Jacob and Israel? Doesn't it comfort you to know that Jacob and Israel said it before we did? Yes. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Come to think of it, I haven't heard it recently. Did anybody tell you all day, Sunday today, preaching on every other thing, your sins, starving babies, any new gimmick to raise money? Anybody tell you today, the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Anybody tell that poor sick soul there? The Lord fainteth not, neither is weary, no searching of his understanding. Anybody tell you God understands? You don't have to hunt for it. It's already there. He giveth power to the faint. Where's my power? Lift me up, Lord. Faith says, by cracky, he does. And if you can't stand up, you sit up. And if you can't sit up, you nod your head. And if you can't, how many times you heard me say it? If you can't nod your head, you blink your eyes. If you can't blink your eyes, you roll your eyeballs. My faith puts me in touch with God, and he fainteth not. Even the youths. Shall faint and be weary. Young men shall utterly fall. I found that out. I mean, boy, you know, these kids can't keep up anymore. I don't know what goes into the sperm and the eggs and the genes that's producing the weak ones of today. I mean, they need 8 hours sleep, 9 hours sleep, and 3 hours to play, and then... Yep, they got Bible for it. Young men shall utterly fall. Youth shall faint and be weary. I hope I live till they get a little older. You know, all my interns are going to smite George Mueller in the face when they see him in heaven. Because I learned from George Mueller that you can get by with 4 hours sleep a night. That's what all my interns are going to do when they get to heaven. They're going to, together, go looking for George Mueller. No, I'm kidding you. The message is, even the very strong, the youth, they'll fall and they get weary. I'm not kidding now. The message is, the young of all people shouldn't get weary, but even them, they'll get weary. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, shall walk and not faint. I've said it, if I've said it once, I've said it 5,000 times these 10 years. If you can keep a fingernail grip, and I've already spent almost 2 hours teaching, so I'm going to just say it and not spend another hour tracing the meaning of waiting on the Lord. I'll tell you what it is. It's that faith grip that keeps a connection if it's just a fingernail. If you can keep that fingernail grip of faith on God, that is the connection that puts His life in you, which is the renewer of strength. And in essence, this poetry is saying, doesn't matter what it looks like. I'm going to say it over the air. My chief engineer, Joe Shackelford, facing a great trial this week of his faith. Wednesday. He called me, and I was proud of him because he's learned to recognize the hand of the devil and not give way. His father, that we've prayed for many times, has gone into brain surgery twice, I recall. Suffered a seizure. I think as they came.